Glory to God. Well, if you will, open your Bible over to Mark chapter 1. I want to read a couple of scriptures. You know, we just had Labor Day, and Labor Day is an interesting time because Labor Day is the signal, the end of the summer, even though kids have been back in school for quite some time, especially Richmond County. But even you might be like me, and, well, no, I was going to say I don't have kids in school, but actually I do. Just forgot that. So much care is gone, I forgot I had kids. But anyway, I know not everyone has kids in school, and you have, you may not recognize, but the weather, you know, like I said on Sunday, it was almost, if you imagine it just right, there's almost kind of a coolness in the air, and almost a dryness. It was supposed to be 95 today. I don't know if it ever made it to that. Was it? That's seems like summer. But we can all acknowledge we're coming to the end of summer, aren't we? Praise the Lord. And so, and when this time of year comes, to me, it's a time of change. I guess it's because we were programmed being in school all those years, you know. And it's kind of, this is the start of the year for us too, isn't it? And so it's not just me that feels that. All of us feel that. You feel that's kind of a start of a year just as much, or if not more, for me than January is. It's because January, all that we have is a calendar changing. But this time of year, the weather's changing. There's a lot of stuff changing. It's a time of change. And for me and Matt, Sunday we shared this. We just got back from our sixth trip over to Australia. And so it's also in our life, at least in these last six trips over there, coming back kind of has been a time of change and a freshness of starting again. And the trip over has been kind of a marker for us because we've gone at the same time each year. It's been sort of a marker for us from year to year to year. So when you get there, you have a lot of time to lay awake when other people are sleeping because you're 14 hours behind. So it's dark, but you're wide awake. So you have a lot of time to think during the night. And you think about, well, what has changed in my life in the last year? What's happened? Y'all have times like that? Y'all ever think about life? Am I the only person here ever thinks about life? Think about life, and you look back, and you look ahead. I'm glad young people think about life sometimes. You look back, you look ahead, you sort of just look through things and contemplate. And so I had some time to do that when I was there. And so that's kind of where, from that, some of this that I'm talking to you about tonight's coming from. So are you in Mark chapter 1 yet? Yes. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, and he walked by the Sea of Galilee. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And in verse 17, Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. In verse 18, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, we've spent a lot of time this year talking about some of the concepts that are in this verse. We started the year with a series called Follow, and we talked about that for close to 2 months. We talked about what it meant to follow God. And then all summer we've been talking about discipleship, which is, you know, what happens when you follow God. You become a disciple. When you follow Jesus, you take on his mission as his disciple. But I want to talk about something tonight that's relevant here. And he said in verse 17, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, I come from, you know, a place, I started to say a tradition, and I guess it is a tradition. I come from a religious tradition where the emphasis was always, it seemed to be from the messages and the way that people talked and the, you know, the verses we read, it seemed that our emphasis was on what we had or didn't have. Do we have our needs met? Do we have healing? What do we have in our lives? It was really an emphasis on what we have and what we don't have. And a lot of times when people came into that fellowship, it was coming into it because they had some things they needed in their lives. And they needed things. And so the emphasis was on getting what you need. And I don't just mean material things, but whatever it was you needed, there was a lot of emphasis on getting what you needed. But it's interesting, when Jesus called people to follow him, he didn't say, follow me and you'll get what you need. He didn't say, follow me because I have some things for you. That wasn't his emphasis. That's not what he said to them. He said, follow me and I will make you become something. And so it's it maybe seems slight, but tonight I just want to try to communicate to you that it's easy for us to get our expectancy focused on something that God never intended it to be focused on. And I think we've been guilty of that at times in our lives. And it's easy to sort of get focused on that. Because Jesus said, I want to make you become something. And I think it's over in a, well, I think it's Matthew's version of this. It doesn't use the word become. And when Matthew related it, he just said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But the idea is that he wants to form and shape us into something, not that he wants to give us something or do something for us. He wants to do something with us. He wants to form us and to shape us. Now, just, you know, quietly contemplate to yourself, your idea of your relationship with God, your interaction with God, your expectancy, your faith in God, could you, you know, just maybe embrace or admit, that would be the right word, could you just admit maybe that a lot of times in your life, when you've been in prayer, when you've been hearing the word or whatever, your exercise of your faith has really been more about getting or having than it has been about becoming. You don't have to tell me. I'm just wanting you to think that, to think about it. And he said, I want you to become something. I want to do something with you to change you. And really, if you read then through the epistles particularly, but you read through the New Testament, what we see, well, Acts is very evident. The Gospels and then Acts, we see people, these very people that he's talking to right here, Peter and Andrew, they became something. In the story of Peter and Andrew, Peter, his story is a story of a man who was transformed. You know, when we met him, he had a fishing business. And then the last time we see him, we don't see him with a great fishing empire. Is that the story of his life? That Peter went from one boat with some partners to a great fishing empire? No, the story of Peter is a man totally transformed to the point that nobody could recognize him. Who are these people? These were the unlearned, uneducated people, and here they are, and the Bible says that it was said of them that they turned their world upside down. So it's just, it's Peter, these very people, these are guys that were transformed. There was a transformation. And so what I'm submitting to you tonight is what we're called to more than anything else is to be changed and to be transformed. And our expectation needs to be built in this area. And we need to start expecting change in ourselves and in each other. We need to really let ourselves, let our faith grow. We need to water our faith, and we need to let our faith increase so that we understand and expect and believe God for expectation. Now, had a situation, I'll just share this with you, had something happen when we were in Australia. We were having dinner with some ministry friends of ours that we saw when we were there, and they were telling us about a minister who we both mutually know, not very well, but we both have had interaction with him, you know, there, and they were relating to us something that this minister had done that involved them to a certain degree, and they were just sharing it with us. And what they were saying was not good. I mean, it was this person was causing problems, was stirring up strife and confusion, and there was like turmoil in churches from it. There was all this stuff going on, and they were relating it to us. And Matt and I are sitting there, and we're just listening and making our comments as there's any room. Matt rarely gets to make a comment, just let's face it, because usually whoever we're talking to, they're doing all the talking, and if there's any room left, I'm doing the talking. And so Matt, poor Matt, you know, he can write notes and hold them up every now and then. I need to get you some cards so you can have some words sometime. Anyway, and so it's true, isn't it, Matt? Okay, so anyway, hold up a little card. Can I say my word now? But anyway, so we're in the midst of this going on. And so one of the couple, I don't even know which one, made the statement. They said, but at least he's not in deep sin. He said, at least he's not in deep sin. Have you ever thought of something like that? Well, at least he's not in deep sin. At least he's not in deep sin. And when they said that, it just like hit me. And suddenly I just got really perturbed. And I said, well, I would rather that he commit adultery than do this. Well, I just happened to know that the couple I was talking to, they really have a problem with people committing adultery because of the past, some things that have happened. Not with them, but other people, like their families. It's been a big problem. So I knew when I said that this is like the worst thing I could possibly say. I would rather that he commit adultery. And when I said that, both of them like flew back on their chairs and mouth fell open. Like, we're just talking about, you know, some turmoil and strife. You didn't have to like get all ugly and bring up adultery. What do you mean? And they thought I was kidding. And I said, I'm not kidding. If he had committed adultery, sure, it would have shattered his marriage, his wife, his kids, his family, but it wouldn't have bothered me. It wouldn't have messed up what you got going. It wouldn't be causing all this turmoil in these churches. You see what I'm saying? Well, they were just like, so every time they saw me, the rest of the time that they saw me, they were just like looking at me like, you know, Susie thinks it's okay to commit adultery. I wasn't saying it was okay to commit adultery. What I am saying is that everybody in here would agree with me that adultery is wrong. And if somebody was committing adultery, you would gladly join me in condemning them. But there are all these things in the church that we put up with and we think, oh, well, that's just them being them. That's my point, is that we have all these things that we're like, oh, that's just Nate being Nate. Well, if the shoe fits. No, no, it's just, do y'all understand what I'm saying? And there are all these things. But we just have these few select things that we like to emphasize. Oh, And I'm like, come on, guys. And I meant it, and I still mean it. I would still rather the guy have committed adultery than what he's been doing. But what he's been doing has caused all kinds of problems. But, you know, it's like one of those things that's just like, well, that's him and his personality. And that's how he's now. I know you don't think I'm talking about you tonight. You're like, oh, I'm glad I came on a night where she's not picking on me. But actually, it is the night I'm going to pick on you. Because God, his plan is to change all of us. And we're so busy trying to live our lives and frankly, some days just survive. Just make it through this mess we call life that we never even get around to what he's interested in, which is transforming us and having us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Having Christ, the way Paul said in Galatians 4, having Christ be formed in us. We don't give that much thought because we're so busy. We have pain we're dealing with. We have, you know, financial needs we're dealing with. We have all these issues of our lives that we're dealing with, and we're just, you know, just trying to find a promise or a prayer that can take care of that. When in actuality, if we would allow him to form Christ in us, a lot of the problems that we have and the crises we face and the situations and issues would no longer be problems, crises, situations, issues. Now, 20 years of pastor, and I figured out that many people, not you that come on Wednesday nights, but other people, that many people don't actually, they're not really interested in Christ being formed in them or any change coming. They want a Band-Aid. A Band-Aid. a Band-Aid. We got back and talked to, you know, the staff and the other, you know, the leaders of the church, talking to Kristen. Kristen tells me about running into somebody that doesn't come to our church, that came to our church like 6 years ago for a season. And the person left and went on to another church. When they left, they were really angry, really mad, left the church because they were angry with Kristen. Okay, they were angry with Kristen. Okay, not me, Kristen. Okay, so they're really angry with Kristen and they leave the church. That's just so funny to me. Well, anyway, so it's been years since Kristen's seen this person. She sees him out, they see her, they descend on her, grab her. And now, last time she saw them, they were furious with her, left the church for her. But now, what do they want to do but spend an hour of Kristen's life unloading and unleashing all their problems on her? Well, that ain't right. But there they are. It's just unleashing it on her and going on and on. And she tells me what all's going on. And I said to her when she relates, and Kristen's genuinely concerned about them. And I said to Kristen, this is so weird because I could swear that the last time I saw them and had a conversation with them, it was the exact same issue, the same problem, the same things going on. Just the dates have changed maybe. Maybe a few of the faces were swapped out. Maybe, you know, a few of the details are different, but it's the same storyline. And if this person does not allow God to change them in 8 years or 6 years when you see them again, it's going to be the same story. And they're going to be wanting a Band-Aid again. This person wanted Kristen to pray for them. I'm just like, see, we just spend a lot of time pretending, playing. I don't think we even understand what we're doing here. We've been called to follow him and allow him to change us and to make us. Jesus said here to make us fishers of men, but that's not even what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about just willingly letting him change us, and not just letting him, but expecting change in us and expecting transformation in our lives and expecting the people around us to change. And the people that we go to church with, that we look at each other and we say, you know, God wants you to grow. And that we work together and we live together and grow together. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's actually the plan of God. Not that this is the place that you come so we can, you know, pat your brow, make you feel better until you go through it all again. So that you can, you know, feel better, so you can go through it all again, so you can feel better and just go through the same thing all over again. Certainly Jesus died for more than that. Now, Matt and I have four kids, you know that, and we had these little babies and they showed up, and I'm not very good with babies. Even after I had four, I'm still not very good with them. So we get these little babies. And a lot of you have had babies and you get them and you're supposed to, like, you're in charge of them. It's like an enormous responsibility. You're supposed to be in charge of these little babies. And then they start, you know, growing and everything. Well, you spend a lot of time when they're little babies taking care of them and feeding them. And then, you know, they always seem like they have all these needs all the time. But if all your interaction with your child is about taking care of their needs, you're completely missing the whole purpose for why you're their parent. Because you're actually supposed to be raising them into adults, not just feeding them and clothing them. Now, is it necessary to feed them and clothe them? It is. But parenting involves more than just, you know, putting a bottle in their mouth or handing them a backpack as they go out the door to school. There's more to, some of you, this is a surprise. But there's more to parenting than that. And I will tell you this, the most important part of parenting is not putting the bottle in the mouth or handing them the backpack or making sure they got the cool shoes. It's not the most important part. The most important part of parenting is looking at the fact that this little blob of flesh that cries and wee-wees shows up in your life, and you are responsible for somehow stewarding, guiding, discipling this little blob of a human into a functioning adult and disciple of Jesus. Now, we're born again. God becomes our Father. And does He want to put the bottle in our mouth and give us our backpack as we go out the door? Does He want to make sure we have a clean nappy? Absolutely. He wants to take care of us. But if that's all we look to Him for is that, we're really missing out on the fatherhood of God. It's so much more than that, y'all. God's fatherhood of us, the best part of God being our Father is not that He takes care of us. Really, if you really understand what Jesus said and what Paul said, God taking care of us, is we should think about that in the same way that Karis thinks that Nate's going to take her to supper after service. Because on Wednesday nights, Karis, I'll hear her in the foyer and she's going, "We're going to Chick-fil-A." Well, you know, I never look at Karis and go, "Did you get a job? You know, or what are you doing to get money? How?" Because Chick-fil-A costs money. She's telling me I'm going to Chick-fil-A and I believe her. In my mind, Karis is going to have some chicken nuggets before the, you know, before her head hits the pillow. Because I know Nate is her father. And he loves taking care of her. Isn't that right? That's really the viewpoint we should have of our Father God. It's not, you know, that's not haughty to think that way. He's the one that said He was our Father. He's the one who told us, "Don't worry about tomorrow because I'm going to take care of it." He wasn't like just trying to make some, you know, scripture for us to read during offering time. He was serious. This is the way we should look at God. He is our Father. We should depend on Him as we would as a child depends on his father. He is our provider. And in that same way with healing. Healing belongs to us. It's not something we're negotiating with God about and getting enough people to fast so somehow or another we can get it. Healing is ours. It's a done deal. It was already settled 2,000 years ago before we ever showed up here. So spending all of our faith, energy, and time and all everything consumed with trying to get our healing or trying to get our needs met, it shows we don't really understand who we are and what's actually going on here. What it means to be in relationship with God. And we're missing out on the best part of our Father. We're missing out on the part where we get to enjoy Him and we get to learn from Him. And He takes us by the hand and He leads us and walks with us and shows us, "This is my plan and this is who I want you to be. And this is what I want you to do today. And I'm going to hook you up over here. And there's this situation going on in your life and this needs to change." You know, has it ever frustrated you whenever you read James chapter 1 and James says there straight off, he says, "When count it all joy when you fall into, you know, any kind of afflictions, trials, diverse kinds of temptation," it says in one, but it's not a temptation like you're lusting for something. It's like a trial. You fall into, really the picture is you're walking along and suddenly, like, you know, in a Gilligan's Island episode when they were wandering through the, I think it was Gilligan's Island. Y'all don't even know what that is. Do y'all know what Gilligan's Island is? Y'all know what Gilligan's Island is? TV land. Don't have cable. Okay. But, you know, basically when you're walking through the jungle and suddenly you fall into the pit, you know, that somebody dug out and put the bamboo over, the palms over, and you didn't see it there. And suddenly you're down and you're surrounded by, you're in a pit, you're surrounded by the dirt, and you can maybe see a little bit of sky up there. That's what that picture is, that you're just walking through life and suddenly you fall into something and you're surrounded by it. Any of y'all ever had that in life? Just falling into something? Isn't it frustrating that James writes about this and says, "Count it all joy"? First of all, when? Not if, but when? I hate that. I hate that he used the word when. And not if. When you fall into these things, count it all joy. And then he goes on to say, and your response to falling into these afflictions or trials is what? What is it that, how are we supposed to respond? Count it all joy. When you fall, can y'all pull that up? This is not in my notes, but that's okay because I don't really have notes. Okay. Let's go over to James. We have some. Okay. No. You're reading it. I'm trying to find James. He's hiding. Okay. There he is. James, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This is New King James. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5 tells us what we're to do. The rest of this is we're just letting patience have its perfect work. Verse 5 tells us what we're to do. Am I the only person that's frustrated when you read this? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Isn't that kind of a weird statement in the middle of that? You wouldn't think that's what he should be saying, right? You would think he'd be giving us like the 911 emergency code. This is, you know, here's the ladder to climb out of the pit. But perhaps he is. He says whenever you get into a situation, the likelihood is you need wisdom. And here's the deal. We always need wisdom. If you fall into a pit, and you lack wisdom, you ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. When you're in these situations, I love what the New Living says. If you don't know what it is God wants you to do, we look to him. That's part of his fatherhood. So what I'm saying by all this is this. In life, we have these struggles, we have these trials, we have these circumstances, we have these situations. And what we want is ask God for relief. What James tells us is ask God for wisdom. That's what's frustrating. Because I'm thinking I need relief. I need deliverance. I need to be set free. I need a breakthrough. I need the victory. I need the manifestation. How many ways can we say this? Right? That's what we think. I need all these things. And James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, what you probably need is wisdom. What you probably need is you need another way of looking at it. What you probably need is God's perspective. What you probably need is to see something you haven't seen. What you probably need is knowledge and understanding and comprehension and revelation. That's probably what you need. But we're looking for something else. Why would we need wisdom, understanding, knowledge, comprehension? Why would we need that? Because the entrance of his word, when he gives us understanding, it brings light to us. And what light does for us is it shines and we see things that we haven't seen. And when we start seeing things, we start getting more understanding. And when we get more understanding about things, then we see that maybe this got me in this situation and this will get me out of the situation. And this right here, this here's what I need to do, and this maybe I need to do this and not say that and change myself and, you know, make a change. Not change myself, but make a change. Now, I'm just thinking, I started this at the beginning telling you about we went on a trip to Australia, and it's kind of a marker for us. And Matt and I talked the first couple of days. We took a couple of days at the beginning, just some time away, and we did a lot of talking about how much change has happened in the last year. There's been so much change. But the change, we've seen a lot of change out here, but I tell you, we've just changed so much in here. And we just named thing after thing after thing. It was like, and then Matt said to me while we were even in the main conference that we went to speak at, he said, I feel like a completely different person than I did a year ago when I stood here. It's so strange how different I feel. Well, it was what he was talking about is the change that's happened, the transformation, but that comes not because my circumstances changed. I still live in the same house, you know. probably was wearing the same clothes at the conference I wore a year ago. You know, not much has changed. I did get layers in my hair I didn't have a year ago. You know, but I even had the same lipstick in my purse. You know what I'm saying? In the natural, things hadn't changed a lot. That it seemed, you see what I'm saying? But yet so much had changed, but it was in here. And I started realizing, you know, that's what God wants for all of us all the time. He wants change in us. Just like Terry stood up here tonight and said, you know, these people that have always been my business, they're not my source. When she said that, you know what? She was giving voice to a change that's happening in her, a realization that's coming, because for a long time she's looked at these people and they've been a source, but she's looking and seeing God's got a lot more of a source, and that's a change in her thinking. That's a different perspective. See, Eric Nessler, he's been promoted several times recently. Now he's the general manager of Zaxby's. But what was your first job there? He was a cook. But you know, a cook can't be the general manager until the cook undergoes a change. You know, and when and as I understand it, I'm telling Eric's story, just agree with this, straighten me out later if I'm wrong. That there was a time they talked to him about being in management and he didn't really want to do it. He was in Zaxby's working and they talked to him about being a manager, but he didn't really want to be a manager. Something, he didn't see that, but something happened inside of Eric. God didn't do it like out here. It wasn't something that happened out here. It was something that happened on the inside of him where he suddenly started seeing himself in a different way instead of the jobs that he had as a cook and the other jobs he had in that level. He started changing on the inside what he saw and how he saw himself. And as that happened, then he got open to what God had for him, and he there's a lot more than just seeing yourself going from a cook to a manager. There's a whole lot more. You got to see yourself being able to work with people and to handle responsibilities and be, you know, to take on more authority, which is not easy to do. And being a leader, who wants to be a leader? Not most people. But somewhere in all that, God had to work in him, and he had to embrace a new way of thinking, and he had to change. Now, Eric, have you undergone any changes since you were a cook to become a manager? There's been a change. You see that? There's been a change that's happened in him. And that's led to him having more money and more, you know, prestige, and him having more perks. He had a really nice perk recently. They took him on this nice trip. He's had more perks. But I mean, we can all rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. God's blessing Eric. But in reality, that blessing is just kind of something that happened. The real thing that happened is Eric, he was transformed. Do you see that? This is what I'm trying to communicate to you. I know I'm not doing very good, but I'm just telling you tonight that God wants to transform us. He doesn't just want to fix these things that are out here. He's not just manipulating circumstances. That's not even his concern. His concern is you being changed and transformed and you becoming something. Now, we're talking about Eric going from being a cook to being a manager, but even that wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose is he wanted to change Eric and grow him, because see, Eric isn't just an agent of Zaxby's. Eric is an agent of the kingdom. And so for all the growth that's happened in him, how it's blessed his life and his family, it's blessed that company. But ultimately now he's a greater asset to the kingdom. You see that? And that's what God's plan is for all of us. He wants growth in all of us so we'll have more to offer the kingdom. We can have more to work for the kingdom, more to do, more produce, more harvest, more fruit. There's more for the kingdom. And so our Father can work with us in a greater way. You know, it's like I talked about the little blob of flesh that you get delivered, you know. That little blob of flesh, you know, you like it and it has potential, but there's not a lot you can do with it. And oftentimes you look at the little kid and you're like, I can't wait until, you know, I can throw the ball with my little fella. You know, that's a point of development, but there had to be growth for that. And I think God is, oftentimes he looks at all of his kids and they're just blobs of flesh that he's diapering and changing. And he's a good father and he'll give you a bottle when you need one. He will. But he's needing people to grow up so we can fellowship with him. Now, one joy of life that I didn't really know, I'm just going to be honest with you, I didn't know. When I had kids, I didn't know how much fun it is to have adult children. It's pretty awesome. Now, we don't have grandchildren yet. I'll give you email addresses of all my children, and you can email them and tell them they're doing me wrong. But you know, that's their personal private business. But I do like to get involved in it every now and then. But anyway, but just so far, just even having adult children is amazing. Like, you can work with them and do things with them. And like, talk with them and converse with them and learn from them and play with them. And it's just a ball of fun. Now, it was kind of fun when they were little blobs, but it's a lot better now, honestly. There's more to look forward to, Lindsay. Those of you who have adult children, you know what I mean. You can travel with them and don't have to hold four hands. Like, they can carry your stuff.
They can pay. They can make you dinner. It's awesome.
Take your parents out to eat. It's awesome. But God longs for that fellowship on that level with us. It's a whole different kind of thing. But we have to be willing to let him work in us and change us and grow us. Now, do you think you've grown some as you look in your life? Do you look back? And I'm talking about blobs of flesh, and you're sitting there going, well, I'm not a little blob of baby flesh in spiritual terms. I've grown. Is that what you think? It's not a trick question. I'm not going to say, no, you're not. I'm not going to say that because I think you probably are. You've probably grown a lot. But I'm saying to all of us here tonight, that God still wants us to become something, and he's still more interested in us becoming something than he is in us having something. He wants you to have everything, just like, of course, you want your children to have everything, but you want them to grow. That them having everything is just a given as far as I'm concerned. They don't have to come and say, Mom, can I have that banana? Are you sure? I would like, if I could have a few of the peanuts, I would appreciate that too. Nobody ever says things like that to me. No. And they shouldn't. This freely, it's theirs. But that's a given. That shouldn't be what my whole interaction is based on. Am I going to meet their needs? And frankly, if that's all that we ever converse about, I'm kind of getting tired of them. If it's just me meeting your needs, if that's all you think of me, then really, but I could blame you for it, but really it's. We need some growth. So that's what I'm saying to us tonight is, I know you got issues and situations and problems, and dear me, we could all make our list and pass it around. We could weep together and, honestly, the real situations. I'm not taking away from them. Real situations. I was having a conversation on Labor Day. A fellow minister having some real difficulties. In the middle of it, I said, you know, Chicken Little, the sky's not falling. The devil likes to tell you the sky's falling. And we all like to be Chicken Little every now and then. Some of us have a Chicken Little anointing. There are people that I know that have chicken. I'm one of them. I can have a Chicken Little anointing with the best of them. I'm very good at having, you know, declaring catastrophes. And I foresee them before they ever, ever come. Catastrophe! I'm very good at that. Do you know anything about this? But in reality, all of us, I'm telling you, all of us need to just settle down a little bit, and we need to remember who we belong to. And we need to actually just settle down a minute and get a perspective on what's going on. God is real. And he's not just real because I read a book about him. He's real because I know him and I've seen him be real. He's God. He's for real. And I've experienced him. Have you ever experienced God? Has he ever shown you his reality? If he hasn't, if you've never known the reality of God, why don't we just start right there and you just say, God, I want to know you're real. But I can tell you, I know God's real, not because mama told me so or not because I read it in a book, but you can't convince me he's not real because I've just experienced him so many times. I know him. So I know him, and I know he's good, and I've seen his goodness. Have you seen his goodness? And I've seen his goodness, and I've seen his goodness, and right now, maybe I'm not seeing exactly how it's all going to work out, but I do know this. His goodness is still there, and he's still for me. And if I can just keep myself from freaking out a little bit here and trust in him and just keep doing whatever he tells me to do, because evidently I lack wisdom and I need to cry out for some, and I'd listen to him and just do what he says and follow him, he's taking me somewhere. And I'll one day turn around and go, oh yeah, I remember back when I was freaking out about that. And then when I, in retrospect, see the path out, I'm like, why was I freaking out so bad? But we don't always remember that in the middle of it going on. And so I was freaking out, but now I'm not freaking out so much because I see he's, oh yeah, he did it. But I'm freaking out about this now. If I would just remember. No wonder the Bible tells us again and again to remember and to rehearse what he's done. Because somehow maybe I could remember, oh, he took care of me here and there and here and there. Oh, this and that. Okay. All right. I don't need to freak out here. I'll just trust in him. I don't really know what's going on here, but I'm trusting you. Give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Any changes I need to make. If you want me to do this or don't want me, whatever. Okay. Oh, okay. You did know the way. Praise the Lord. This whole night, I feel like I've been struggling because I really want to talk to you about transformation. I feel like people aren't ready for that because they have needs in their lives. So let's just bow our heads for a moment. I don't know exactly what's going on with everybody here. Maybe it's not you. I had this really great message about transformation, but it's okay. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you are good. We can trust you tonight. Hallelujah. You're the God of all comfort. Some folks here tonight need comfort. We just receive the comfort that we need, the peace that will stabilize us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 When we don't know how to pray, even. Hallelujah. We can pray in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just invite you to join me. Let's just pray here. If you pray in the Spirit, let's just pray in the Spirit for a minute. Oh, brevi, sela maman de sela bobo foto. Ushe, bifi, boko, don, doro, so brevi, dios, man, deri. Yo, balavlemo, so do, so brevi, ti, ho, so do, la mana, mana, bakata. Ibrivi Dios mandere vi banga de le vodo sopra ti amase Iba dandere fosso do lo blabe di asababa di kiriosce Hallelujah. Oh, basendi asabatari vibokodo. Oh, mananini mana katasabaka. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a time of growth. Hallelujah. There's a time of growth. There's a season of intense growth coming. Hallelujah. It's upon us. We're entering into a season of intense growth, and it's growth within us, growth within us, growth within us. And there's some things that, oh, bush leblebo go dos lo blebi babamba de, that'll be changed and brought out and brought forth in our lives. Oh, bush, and people stepping into their gifts. Oh, basela mandia samanda, and a lot of the trouble and the affliction and a lot of the trials and a lot of the pressure has been about keeping people from manifesting Christ, keeping people from manifesting the gifts that are within them, keeping people from stepping into the places that God has ordained for them to function. And so they just spend a lot of time spinning with the problems, spinning with the same old problems, and you never actually get to what God has. Oh, brese bodos lo blevi dios bodoro she brevi dios manderi. Ooh, but that if it bodogo tos mandera bakasha. Ah, bos lov la mantikise. Oh, basebadia sabakata. But growth is upon us. Growth is upon us. Growth. Hallelujah. Growth. There'll be change and transformation even in you. Change and transformation. Oh, as you're willing. If you're willing, oh, ma se de bos lo vlo bodekise. Oh, ba de divi mon babokoso. There's change at hand. Change at hand. Hallelujah. Change at hand. Change for you. Change in you. Oh, hallelujah. Change. And there's a transformation coming. Not, oh, it'll benefit you. There'll be great benefit, but it's for the plan of God, for what God's working in the earth, for what God's working through His body, for what God's working. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just like we see in the scripture with those fishermen and the tax collectors and the others that Jesus called to Himself. And there was this intense period of growth and change in them so that He could launch them out. Hallelujah. That's the time we're in. There's that launching out. There's this time of growth as we, oh, hallelujah. There's a time of growth, this time of intense growth. There was for them this intense growth that happened. Hallelujah. And then there was in such transformation that we didn't even know who they were at the end. Couldn't even have figured out this was Peter. How could this possibly be the same guys? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for that. And Father, whatever, just if you're there and you're willing to, just say to Him, whatever, Father, you have for me, I'm willing and I present myself to you. If there's whatever you want to work in my life, not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. 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 A lot of people here tonight, there's things God's been dealing with you and about in your life and dealing with you about and dealing with you about and dealing with you about and dealing with you about. And it needs to quit just being something He's dealing with you about, and it needs to be something that you just move past. You just go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to put this behind me and not it still be the thing I'm dealing with. I need to grow beyond it. I need to grow beyond it. I need to grow beyond it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Growing beyond it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're so interested in God removing these problems, but the reality is you just need to grow beyond them. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.